We kicked off just a month or so ago. Today, as you know, we'll be spending quite a bit of time hearing from our vendors who are the leaders and the innovators in the world of e-poll books or electronic rosters. And that will be adding to our knowledge base, and that'll also be extended this fall. All will be also participating in our pilot program. That'll be in some of our municipalities and some of our polling places. I want to take a second and just do brief introductions of our task force members here today, and then we'll move from there. Start with our new members.
Hi, I'm Kathy Bonifield.
Max Halperin.
Tell us where you're from.
I'm an election judge for the city of Minneapolis.
And I'm a professor at Gustavus Adolphus College, St. Peter.
I'm Vaughn Bortleson, and I'm a retired state employee that worked in information services and also work at or help out at Ramsey County as an election judge.
And all three of you are Gustavus graduates,
yes.
I believe.
I'm not a graduate, but I'm on the faculty.
Well, that's not as good. But in any case, we're happy.
Carolyn Parnell, I'm the Commissioner of Minnesota IT and the state CIO.
Beth Fraser, the Deputy Secretary of State.
Mark Ritchie, Secretary of State.
Grace Walk-Leroe, City of Minneapolis and School District Number 1.
Good morning, State Senator Terry Bonoff. I represent Minnetonka and Plymouth, and I just wanted to also mention that we're in the process of doing a statewide tour around colleges and universities, so I'll be leaving at 1:30 to do a visit at Augsburg.
Thank you for being here. Thank you.
I'm David Maeda, City of Minnetonka.
Gary Poser, Director of Elections for the Secretary of State's Office.
Pat McCormick, Director of Driver and Vehicle Services with the Department of Public Safety.
Sally Olson of the Legislative Coordinating Commission.
Thank you, everyone. We'll be going one after another with a 20-minute time slot, and I've asked folks to sort of split that between presentations that are helping us look into the future and time for questions. We will, of course, have lots of time for discussion afterwards, but we want to run through these first in the beginning. We'll start with Hart, Intercivic. Oh, approval of the minutes. One moment, please. We have some administrative things. Come on up. Grab your folder.
Oh.
You've gotten the minutes sent to you and have them here. Any corrections, changes, additions? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move.
Is there a second?
I'll
Pat,
second.
Thank you very much. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Thank you. Please introduce yourself. We just went around the room.
Sorry, Deputy Erickson, Crow Wing County. I allowed for time for the road construction, but not the accident.
It looked like a terrible accident coming in this morning. So, yeah. Our first presentation will be Hart Intercivic. Justin?
Correct.
You tell us when you're ready, but you go right ahead.
I'll be ready in just a minute.
I want to express my appreciation to all of the companies that moved heaven and earth in some cases to be here today and to help us do this efficiently. So thank you to all of you. You can get some extra time because the technology's up if you want to start.
Sure. Well, thank you all for inviting us in. My name is Justin Morris. I'm with Hart Intercivic. I am going to go through a very brief presentation on our solution for the state of Minnesota.
Could you just turn your mic straight up so the tape grabs you?
You know, that's fine. If it's okay, I'll sit.
Please.
That might
That'll
be
better.
Easier.
Again, Justin Morris with Hart Intercivic. Thank you for having us.
You need to.
What's your title on the F8? There's nothing coming out of the left.
There we go.
Thank you.
Okay, so I thought I'd give a very brief background of Hart, and then I'll go into the solution.
I'm sorry, I'm having a tough time seeing the.
There we go. Okay. So Hardiner Civic is a 100-year-old company based in Austin, Texas. We started printing ballots for the city of Austin in 1912. Currently, we're in 15 states plus the District of Columbia. We have over 600 jurisdictions. While being one of the oldest election companies in the industry, we're arguably one of the fastest in having doubled our jurisdiction growth over the last 5 years. Specific to our solution with our e-poll book, we have a number of very large jurisdictions that are currently using our solution, and you'll see that there are millions of voters that are being posted through the Hart e-poll book on each election. We have worked extensively in the state of Minnesota. Specifically, we ran a pilot on this software with David Maeda back in Minnetonka 2 years ago, and he has been played a big role in the development of our software and making sure that it does everything it needs to for Election Day registration. So I want to give a brief overview of what the product consists of. You'll see on the screen that there is it's a basic kit, and that kit includes an electronic poll book. It includes a MagStripe reader for reading a driver's license when you're doing Election Day registration, and it includes a printer, and that printer can be a number of different print options. I think what's really key about the Hart solution in order to save the state money is that everything we do is commercial off the shelf, meaning you're not tied to a specific piece of hardware that may be difficult to source down the road. Because it runs on Windows 7, that's the common denominator that we'll be able to work with. So I think it's a real key benefit of it. It all packs into a very nice kit that is able to be used as your transport and storage case. It is a ruggedized case so that it is much easier to transport and know that the product will remain secured. I do have the full kit with me. I didn't bring it down here, but if you'd like to take a look at it later, I can certainly do that for you. There are a few really key pieces that are included in our solution. Again, it's a commercial off-the-shelf, Windows 7-based laptop, which I have right here. And a few of the key features of this is that we provide a solution that gives you multiple forms of input. And what I mean by that is that you can use the keyboard, you can use a stylus and touch style, and really what we're allowing the poll worker to do is give them a flow that's easiest for them to work with our poll book. Having those optional solutions to enter data makes their life a whole lot easier. Okay. Again, I mentioned the printer options. We can do anything from a high-speed point of sale up to a inkjet or high-speed laser at the polling location. It really depends on, you know, what you're comfortable with using. There are advantages and disadvantages to both. With a quick line printer or thermal printer, it's very fast and gives you the data you need. However, it may not be able to print a full-size Election Day registration form. So we can do either way, and for the purpose of the pilot, what we've coded for today is a full-size 8.5x11 Election Day registration form, and I want to thank David for helping us out in laying that out. There is multiple forms of security and backup built into the unit. All data is backed up to a hard drive, and it is also saved to an SD card that is installed in the unit itself. So all data is backed up in that manner. There is also the ability to support basically every style of voting. So whether it's early voting, precinct-based, or vote center, we do have that capability. We have a number of jurisdictions where this poll book is being used in a vote center scenario where they are all networked. And that networking can occur through wired or wireless. And then at the precinct level, if you don't want to use the internet, we can provide peer-to-peer networking so that it's just for that precinct-based solution. And what's great about the solution, too, is that if you're precinct-based today, which you are, and move to Vote Center, there's really no extra added cost to making that move with the HART solution. It's built into the software that is part of our solution. Okay. So I just want to give a real brief overview of what it takes to run an election on the HART poll book, and this is really a very simple solution. It starts with your voter registration data, and that's in the upper right-hand corner of your slide there. And we do a download from your registration data and import it to our what we call our e-pollbook manager. And from that, you are able to write the media that will be put into the poll books. And you basically distribute those poll books to the polling locations. You post your voters. At the end of the election, you would then take the media cards from the poll books and take all that data and upload it back to the voter registration system. Okay. So it goes in a nice circle there. This is the Election Day registration form, and this is what it looks like on screen on our poll book. And you can see that it is very complete. It provides a simple single-screen solution that makes it very easy for the poll worker. When you get to this into this position where you are processing an Election Day registrant, it's a matter of swiping a driver's license, which will preload all of the data into this form. And then you can go ahead and process that. And I do have a few copies of what it looks like printed out along with the affidavit afterwards. So I'm just going to pass this out real quick if you want to take a look at it. We have a number of reports that can be generated from our poll book post-election, and this report is just one sampling of the reporting capability. I think what's important to note is that basically anything that you are recording in the poll book, we can report on. Everything from posted voters to who was using the poll book to timestamps of who did what and when. So there is a complete audit trail of absolutely everything that happens within the poll book and those activities. These reports have the ability to be exported to a number of different formats. They can be HTML for web. We can certainly do CSV, so you can dump them into an Excel spreadsheet and customize the reports further. So it's a very robust reporting tool that is included with the poll book. I want to talk a little bit about system security here. There's a few things that we do to harden the system. We, in our poll book, we run an embedded version of Windows 7, which is a very secure method of loading Windows 7. We really limit the ability to what you can do with the poll book. It is meant to be a single-purpose item. And the idea behind that is that the less you use for other tasks with the poll book, the more secure it will be. So when you open up a HART poll book, you're going to notice that it is a very plain screen with really only one activity you can do, and that activity is posting voters. So it's a very secure method of running our solution. I mentioned that we do back up the system, so it is backed up in multiple ways. In a typical precinct, we'll have two poll books that are connected with a single cable, and they will be backing up each other, as well as the data will be backed up onto an SD card, a small flash memory card, and it will also be saved to the internal hard disk. So all of that data is backed up multiple ways. Should a poll book go down, you can still post voters on that other poll book, and when the other poll book is able to be brought back up, it instantaneously syncs all of that posted data. And it happens literally in less than a second. It's milliseconds in which we measure that sync time. So it's a very fast system. Every piece of data that flows in and out of the system is encrypted using the industry standard NSA SHA-128-bit encryption. So that ensures that data is encrypted, whether it be an audit log or connecting to another poll book to update each other. All of those activities are encrypted, so you know you have that security built in. And again, I did mention audit logs. Absolutely every activity that is built that occurs on a poll book, whether it be loading it, posting a voter, running a report, is in an audit log, which is a report that you would be able to print out. So you can see voter activity, you can see poll worker activity, and all that detail is built into it. And that was it for my presentation, so I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you might have.
Great. Thank you very much. One of the things that we are, when we spoke about this before, is just trying to get a little sense from you about the rough outline of costs, because there's obviously there's some hardware, there's some software, there's some one-time, there's some licensing. Not to put you in an awkward position, but if you could give us any kind of indication of roughly what that solution, what people need to be thinking about in terms of cost.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to share that. There's when you look at our poll book package, and that includes hardware, I'm going to give you a range, and that range really depends on the hardware that is included. So we do provide our standard kit is a ruggedized touchscreen laptop. It includes a printer, and it includes a magnetic stripe reader. There are variations that can occur in there. So it could be the full kit could range anywhere from roughly $1,500 to $2,000 per. As far as annual license and support, and what that means is when you're paying that on a per poll book basis, you are able to take advantage of our of the support that we offer, plus any upgrades that we may do, general release upgrades to the software, you would be included in that. It's a that dollar amount is roughly $55 per unit per year.
Okay. And normally two units per polling place.
That's typically what we see. However, we do have jurisdictions that are running with as few as one, and we have jurisdictions running with as many as, you know, in a super precinct or a vote center, they may have 6 to 10, depending on their needs and how busy the polling location is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Question? Closer.
Mr. Morris, I'm just curious, when you're with the 1 to 2, do you have like a size of the precinct normally, number of voters that you would normally say once you're over a certain number of voters, you would go more than two? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. So we like to figure in the number of about 750 voters per poll book. And the reason we that number takes into account that we all know that there are going to be busy times during the day and there are going to be slow times during the day. So we believe that we can accommodate those numbers even throughout an uneven flow of voters.
Please.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Morris, two questions. First, are there any independent certifications from external inspection of the development process or design documents or code?
You know, I don't know that I have that readily available, but I can certainly find out for you, and if you'd like to see whatever kind of white papers we might have, is that the sort of thing you're referring to? Or
I was more inquiring whether any independent party had validated the design or development process that would give us some assurance on that.
Sure. So we do adhere to ISO standards in that regard, but we also have had our systems certified in various states, and they use a certification process in those states, and I can provide that.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that. And then the other, if you'll forgive me, the secure hash algorithm 128-bit version you referred to is not actually an encryption method. That's a hash algorithm. Would information about the actual encryption be made available to us at some point?
Yes, we could definitely provide that information.
Thank you.
Other questions? I have a further question just about your experience on the question of reliability.
Mm-hmm.
Having two is can give comfort in the sense of having one backup, but you've been implementing this in many different kinds of places, many different kinds of weather and circumstances. Give us any kind of sense from your own experience.
Certainly. Great example referring to weather. So I'm going to give you two very extremes. One is we're based in Texas, and we have a number of jurisdictions in the state of Texas, namely Galveston County. If you think about how hot and humid it can be, and that can usually cause havoc with printing, as well as just humidity levels where there's no air conditioning and that sort of thing, we don't have issues with poll book operating temperatures or anything like that. On the other extreme, we work extensively with the state of South Dakota. We are the approved poll book throughout the state, and they are doing vote centers, and some of their locations are quite remote. In fact, there are some that are literally a tool shed out on a, you know, the back 40, where is a has been set up as a vote center, and we've seen some pretty cold operating environments there, and we've not had a situation where they could not post a voter.
Great. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Morris, you passed around, or we looked at the the form that a voter would fill out. Is that always the case? Is there a way for them to sign with a stylus, or is there always a paper?
Well, we developed the software based on the information that we were given from the Secretary of State's office for the purpose of this pilot. Having said that, we have a number of jurisdictions where we do collect an electronic signature, and that functionality is built into our e-poll book. So we can capture the signature as long as the rules allow us to do so.
And that pilot, you're referring to our pilot this fall?
That's correct.
Great.
And so, Mr. Chair, what in the language had that be the conclusion? I don't recall seeing anything that would have defined that we would have just wanted it with a paper signature.
Mr. Poser?
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonner, I believe the language in there required two times for the signature, one on the oath that they would sign, so it required something to be printed off for an oath, and then and for the registration card to print that off to be signed by the voter. So I believe the way that that was interpreted, I think it does require
a printed
the printed form for then the voter to sign.
Thank you.
So I think that's one of the big benefits of the pilot is beginning to give us real information about things that might need some attention next spring. Other questions? I know our friends in South Dakota are thrilled and have been high on your service and your support for them. Thank you very much for your brief and right-on-time presentation, and look forward to working with you in the pilot coming up. And we'll go through all the presentations, and we'll have time to have real discussion, among other things. So okay. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
Next, ES&S. Do a little switch here.
Well, good morning. As my fellow worker is setting up, let me just say thank you for the opportunity to appear in front of you this morning. My name is Mike Hoverston, and I've been with ESMS 35 years now. And
Mike, grab the mic, so to speak. That's good. You'll be heard.
Okay. ES&S has a sizable presence in Minnesota. We have voting equipment in all 87 counties, and we have five people from our company that live and reside in Minnesota. I live in Hennepin County, and then we have four people that live up in the St. Cloud area. So we have a very significant presence in Minnesota, have worked in the state for many, many, many years, and I'm very pleased to have Mark Radke with me today. He's our product specialist for the poll book, and Mark has worked all around the country with poll books. Mark?
All right. Give me 1 second. We're just moving up here. Let me show you the process. All All right. If you don't mind, I'll stand.
You have to make sure that your mic can hear you, but your voice sounds good.
All right.
So just
all right. Very good. Again, as Mike mentioned, thank you for the opportunity here. I will tell you, for starters, that ESNS, again, is the largest supplier of electronic poll books in the nation. Today, we have about 18,000 units already in place. And as you look at systems, I think it's very advisable to say, look at the company that you're dealing with as well. Because, quite honestly, we're a very strong company. We've been around for over 40 years. We have, again, 18,000 of these electronic poll books already in place. And as Mike mentioned, we have five people right here in the state of Minnesota that to service and support all of you and your jurisdictions, which we feel is very important. Mike may have mentioned, too, that, again, 87 counties in Minnesota, and we have election equipment in every one of them. So we're very familiar with all of your counties already. Just a few things about the ExpressPoll 5000, which is our electronic poll book. First of all, you'll see this isn't a laptop, this isn't a tablet PC. This is a product that's made to be an electronic poll book. This has no hard drive in it. I've thrown this one across the room. If you'd like to see me do it, I'd be glad to. It's durable. And some people will say, well, I'll put a case around it, that'll protect it. No, because the people in the back office are going to be dropping these and so on and so forth. This, again, has been thrown numerous times. It's been kicked under airplane seats, I don't know how many times. This has to work when it gets to your elections on election morning. That's critical. This is your paper poll book. So that's why we've gone with this dedicated enclosure. Also, when you validate a voter, it's redundantly stored to compact flash memory on a removable card here and also to internal memory within the unit as well. It helps all of us sleep better at night knowing you've got that kind of built-in redundancy with the system as well. As you can see here, from a product longevity standpoint, obviously critically important because your jurisdictions are going to have this equipment for 10, 15 years or longer. We have a system out there. This is the second generation. Our first generation was called the ExpressPoll 4000. We still have thousands of those out there today, fully operational, and some of those are up to 9 years old because we continue to service and support them. A big part of that is we supply the parts and service for this unit. Can you imagine trying to find parts and service for a laptop or a tablet PC that's 5 years old today? Good luck. To show you the capability of the system as well, we're statewide in two states already, fully implemented in two states, the entire state of Georgia in every precinct and every jurisdiction, and the state of Maryland in every precinct and every jurisdiction. Between those two states right there, we're talking about over 13,000 of these electronic poll books. And those have been in use very, very successfully in those states. You can see the range of registered voters there as well. We're not talking about small jurisdictions. We're talking about 5.7 million registered voters in the state of Georgia. As an example, we monitor, actually validate voters, 1.7 million voters in the city of Atlanta alone. Again, we talked about a dedicated, durable enclosure. Because, again, this needs to function when it goes to the jurisdiction first thing in the morning. Your poll worker relies on this, so your voters. It has to function. And this has proven to be extremely reliable. No hard drive in this unit whatsoever. Again, we don't use, again, standard off-the-shelf equipment for that very reason. Large system capacity. People will say, is it large enough to handle my jurisdiction? Let me just put it this way. The states of Georgia and the state of Maryland both have the entire precinct, county and state database on every one of their electronic poll book units, the entire state. So we're talking 5.7 million voters on every one of the express poll units in the state of Georgia. No one matches that capability. From a battery backup standpoint, critically important, that unit has to work again during the day on Election Central. In this situation, if you have a long power outage, as an example, I can change the battery in this unit in 20 seconds. If I'm using an off-the-shelf product like a tablet PC, I have to send that unit back to the manufacturer in order to change a backup battery in that unit. This is made to be an electronic poll book. We also use a dedicated operating system. We don't use standard Windows and so on with this product. The reason for that is, with a dedicated operating system, we lock that system down. You were talking about security a little bit earlier. Again, we encrypt our data. We can go AES 256, RC4, and so on. But with a dedicated operating system, basically we restrict the capability of inputting other applications into that operating system. So again, on election morning, your election officials are going to know the only applications that are running are those that are supposed to be there for the electronic poll book. Easy field, infield replacement. We can have a number of different peripherals work with this system. As an example, we have a printer, high-speed printer, thermal. We have a mag stripe reader for driver's license. We also have a barcode scanner with this as well, if you'd like. So a number of different peripherals to work with the system. One thing we do a little differently is we actually attach those to the electronic poll book. The reason we do that is because if you have a replacement, you know, people talk about replacing and how many you need per jurisdiction and so on. If you need to replace this unit during an election, you can actually just unplug the, say, signature pad, plug in another one, and you're good to go. You don't have to worry about wireless where you have passphrases and things like that that have to match in order for those peripherals to work on election day. With ours, you simply plug them in and you're up and running. So it simplifies the entire process for your poll workers. We're updating software every quarter with this system. And our hardware was updated about 2 years ago. So it's a very current system as far as capabilities and all. We have same-day registration capability. Again, very easy to put that information into the system in a heartbeat. Nice thing about it as well, once you do that, it registers what precinct location that particular voter should vote in. A couple other capabilities we have here. I know there's been some talk about early voting here in Minnesota. For the last 2 years, we have run an online system throughout the entire state of Maryland. And this is 3.7 million registered voters coming back to one central server in Annapolis, Maryland. That's an online system. Again, it's been running for 2 years already. So we're fully capable of taking this piece of hardware, adding a little different piece of software to it, and making an online system like that. That's exactly what we've done in Maryland. We've also used this for vote center elections in the states of Indiana and also Arizona. So that capability is built into the system as well. We even have a central server system ourselves, where if a jurisdiction doesn't want to have an online system and the server at their location, we can actually have those units report back to a server that we control, put their data on that server, and they can tap into that via the internet to pull up reports and everything else that they would need. So we have that capability as well. So there's a lot of different opportunities built into this system. Long-term commitment of the system. One of the things that I must stress here as well is this is a product that ESS makes, supports, enhances, and so on. This isn't a product we get from someone else and sell to you. This is our product. So as you look at the different products out there, please make sure you ask that question, do you manufacture this product? Because I think that's key to the long-term support and activities with this system. Any questions?
Let me just start by just asking you to give us that kind of broad sense of the cost.
Right. We're looking at all four, say, printer capability readout, a driver's license, and the tablet, $1,300.
Per unit, per jurisdiction?
Per unit.
So, again, do you recommend two in a precinct of a certain size and more as you get larger?
We usually suggest one poll book for every 800 to 1,000 registered voters. That's what we've seen work very, very effectively. And again, we've got 18,000 of these out there now. So it's been a very good average for us. Some people are using one per precinct location. Others are having multiple. It just depends on your philosophy. Do it either way.
Question? Yes.
Mr. Adkey, I was wondering, you had mentioned that it's capable to be used for election day registration, but have you implemented that in any state?
I don't believe we have yet, but the capability's there. It's a matter of using it. I think it'll be a great test with the pilots coming up.
Were there licensing fees? Are there other licensing fees beyond, you know, on an annual basis or?
It would be a license fee, and it would be like maintenance with the equipment as well. Again, small license fee for the software, and again, if you pay your licensing fee with that, all the upgrades for the license or the software would be free of charge.
And roughly per unit per year?
We're looking at $75.
If you'll forgive me, you emphasized, I believe, capability to operate in a power failure with batteries that can be quickly replaced. Do you have a solution that also addresses the power requirements of the printer and card reader?
That's the entire system.
So your printer keeps functioning?
Everything keeps functioning.
And how long can you keep printing on a battery?
Minimum 4 hours, fully functional. Yep. You're going to hear, by the way,
thank you
for bringing that up, because you're going to hear some people say, I'm good for 9.5, 10 hours, things like that. But this is fully functional. This is with everything operating. We're talking about 4 hours plus in that mode.
Other questions? Great. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Great to see you here. Data card. Hello, Kathleen. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, and good morning, Task Force. I'm Kathleen Sinstegard with Data Card Group, and thank you very much for inviting us to present this morning. We will give you a brief overview of Data Card, and then Dan Hudson, my colleague, will give you a brief overview of the Data Card software solution. Hopefully you can see that okay.
Not
so the benefits
quite yet.
Of electronic poll books. It's not there yet. There it is. The benefits of electronic poll books. The poll books are faster. They provide a faster and easier voter check-in. You minimize provisional ballots and reduce facility costs. Oops. You reduce poll worker costs. You have an automated update of the voter history. Minimize human errors, and there's no proprietary hardware, especially with Data Card solution. You have a data load flexibility, which Dan will describe during his demonstration. And it's obviously a greener solution because you eliminate the paper poll books. So just to give you a little background on Data Card Group, Data Card is headquartered in Minnetonka, Minnesota. We have about 1,400 employees. About 800 of those reside here in Minnesota and work at the headquarters in Minnetonka. And the other 600 are throughout the world. We are a global organization. We are privately held. Our annual revenues have now reached about $450 million. And we have a service and support network in over 120 countries around the world. And over 15 million credentials are produced with data card solutions every day. So data card, we specialize in card personalization solutions. And for governments, so that means secure identity and secure identity solutions. And then the electronic poll book is an extension of the government business. So with the data card solution, the data card advocate electronic poll book solution uses off-the-shelf hardware. There is nothing proprietary about the hardware solution. So the state of Minnesota can choose to buy some or all of the hardware from Data Card, or you can use existing hardware that you may have, or purchase laptop hardware on your own. The software solution includes the ability for Minnesota to make changes to load the voter data without Data Card's help. It's very intuitive software. It also includes a configurator so you can set up your own screens and your own business rules. And in terms of experience, the Data Card Advocate software has been used by the state of Virginia throughout the state since 2008. And we've also had solutions running in Colorado and same-day registration in the city of Minnetonka, as well as several pilots throughout the nation. There are no per-election charges from Data Card. Your cost is the same whether you run 2 or 200 elections each year. The only recurring cost with the data card solution is the software maintenance agreement, and that's a pretty small cost. Okay, and now I'll turn the presentation over to Dan, and he'll give you an overview of the actual software.
You'll see here, the first thing we're going to do, we're starting out like it's a clean morning. You're walking in to load your election. So there's one file, PK encrypted, bring all your data in. So this not only brings your data, this also brings the workflow for the election. In the clerk's office, you have a utility we call PAM, Precinct Automation Manager, where you configure the election. You set up the workflow that you want used for this particular election, and that workflow, along with the data, is exported in this file out to all the precincts. That gives you the ability, if you want to change things from election to election, whether it's just a city election or if it's a primary, you can change the check-in workflow as needed without having to modify each individual client. You'll see here, once we bring it up, we're using this lightweight commercial off-the-shelf PC here to show you that you don't need speedy hardware to run this election. This will run just fine on most normal PC you have out there that can run Windows 7, XP, any of the normal Windows Microsoft operating systems. First thing you'll see, we've got a warning here. We actually check to make sure that you're running the right election on the right date. We give the ability to specify the date of the election is when the clerk sets that election up. So you can see if you've got a file that may have gotten out there, somebody made a mistake somewhere, we can catch it here and help you make it so it doesn't keep going down the whole day of election. We'll log in here. This is going to say like live backup, as everybody's talked about, backing up. Maybe something does happen. Eventually, something will happen on election day to any piece of hardware. This gives you the ability to do a backup to a USB key where all the data is written out, encrypted as well. If one of the workstations goes down, you can take another PC, bring this in here. Not only does it import all the data, set that workflow up, but it gives you all the election results that you've done today, the check-in results, imported into that PC, so you're up and running as quickly as possible. We'll do an open full book. Once we get to this stage, it comes down to you are now up and running. Go ahead, we can start checking people in. You see, as we start typing information, records come up. One thing I will show you is as you type letters, each letter does a new search and starts narrowing it down. So at any point in time, you can select a record that you want to check in. Here we see it's ready to check in. Check the voter in. The process we have here says, well, select your party. This can be used for if you've got if you need to know which party it is, know which ballot to give them. This will let you select that. We can also collect the electronic signature right here as well. On the pad, you can't see it here, but we're actually displaying a little user interface to the user that says, sign your name. If you want to do it, clear it because you didn't like the way your signature came out, you can clear it right here on the pad, and then the person can re-sign it and then click OK. I'm ready to go. Until that person clicked OK, they're happy with their signature. The operator cannot click continue. That did not light up.
So could you hold that pad up just so people could see it?
Sure. It's a normal Topaz signature pad. If you see, go to any of your most retail environments, you'll see something similar to this. Topaz is the major manufacturer of these for most retail environments.
Great.
We'll just confirm the check-in, and you'll see now that the record is in red. That shows a quick thing to the user. So that record's already checked in. You'll note the record above it has a yellow. It's a HAVA voter. So you've got these election day flags that say if they need to do something special to certain records, you'll see it shows up on the bottom of the screen there. Personal identification required. Make sure that you collect that before they process the person in. Once we go through the election, the export is pretty much the same as the import. Just go ahead and choose export, close the election, which will export the data out to the file to the USB key, which then can be brought back to the clerk's office to bring them all in, consolidate the records, run reports, upload the information to the state, and close out the election. That is
great. Thank you very much. Questions, please.
I think we've all had the experience of going to a retail establishment and we write our name on the little signature pad and it's nothing but, garble. How do you prevent that?
The best thing you can do, because you are right, that is an issue with electronic signature. And there's a couple ways you can do that. There are different pads out there. You can set line thickness, weights, things like that. But if you ask me, the best way to do it is there are pads that have a piece of paper you can put over it. And especially when you're doing Election Day registration, where you, if you want to get that personalized signature, you've seen the DMV offices used to use these. I don't know if they still do. But you basically put the form over the election pad, over the signature pad, and you sign on the paper, and the signature's caught from that signature on the paper. So you're actually getting a legible signature. The person feels like they're signing a piece of paper, so they sign it normally. Otherwise, it's down to what is, you know, considered by the state to be an acceptable signature, as which solution you'd want to use.
Other question, Mr. Poser?
Can you talk a little bit about your Election Day registration, how that would work within your system, and whether or not when you add an address for an Election Day registrant, whether that's pulling from a polling place finder and is knowing that the voter's in the right precinct?
Yes, we do have the Election Day module. Actually, Dave Maida does run that Minnetonka. He's run that for a couple of years now. Works really well. We can make it to where it'll pull, look at the files and make sure that the data is there first, or we can make it a free form entry. It can operate in either manner. It's a matter of what that location wants to do. And so we give you the option of choosing what you'd like to do. So we can either manner take your pick.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lane, I had asked a question about printing the signature page earlier because in the legislation actually says that it has to be printed, but I just want clarification that if this is someone who is already registered, then they would also sign the e-poll book to verify that they are there. Is that how this would work?
We can make it work either way, actually. We can collect it just electronically, or we can print out the piece of paper. It's hard to bring the printer here. We can print it out and then have them sign the piece of paper and capture electronically at the same time.
Mr. Chair, it's my recollection in Minnetonka that we did sign the book, that we signed a printed copy. Is that correct? Yes. Thank you.
Thanks.
If you have a precinct with multiple e-poll books in it, is there any single point of failure that would incapacitate the entire precinct?
No, and thank you for asking that, actually, because I forgot to mention that during my presentation. The way we do it is we do a network with a hub for how many of these poll books you want in one location. We can go from one all the way up to kind of pick your high number where we really don't have a top end. If any one of them goes down, you just plug it, take that whole backup procedure I talked about with the USB key bringing the data back up. You can use that, or if you plug it back in, it'll resync itself. Because what we do is we actually sync the data across all the laptops, so if any one laptop goes down, the other one's still running with all the information on there.
Thank you. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question for you, good to see you here today. In regards to the signature thing, Minnesota law requires that there be an actual signature on a piece of paper by the voter. Two things, one on the voter registration application form itself, and the second one is on the oath and the roster. So I think it's perfectly fine to do both. I think, especially in a pilot, you want to test that electronic signature capacity, test the size, scope, see how good we can get it. But, you know, Minnesota law currently requires that. So does your system have the ability, I'm assuming this is correct from what you've said before, it will print these forms, the voter can sign them, whether they're in a book or separate or however they may be, they are a real key part of Minnesota's record. So you have that flexibility to do both, correct?
Oh, definitely. We can print out the form and have the person sign the form. And like, I just want to mention possibilities for the future that the electronic signature pads come in, like mm-hmm. you said, test things out, move forward.
Mm-hmm. And then the keeping track of those pieces of paper afterwards, is there any imaging that goes as a part that you can attach an image of the actual signed piece of paper into the record at all?
We could provide that, actually, because we could get a copy of that image and upload it to your information on the records that we've passed back into the state for, on the Election Day results.
Mm-hmm.
That
okay.
is possible, yes.
All right, thanks.
Please.
The other vendors had mentioned specific numbers when it came to cost, and I was wondering if you could do that for us as well.
Sure. So we essentially have two modules. One is what we call our Precinct Automation Manager, which is really the control center of the election process. And that module is about $2,500. And there's only one module required for that particular software piece. And then the precinct software, the actual Advocate electronic poll book, is about $500 per license. And then the recurring fee is the software maintenance agreement, which is about $60 per license. And that's an annual software maintenance agreement. And again, on the hardware, the state can either choose to use its own hardware, purchase its own hardware, or purchase the hardware through data card.
And then the other question that we've been asking is, how many voters per laptop would you expect you could process? That would be a good number.
I'll be honest, I think you're going to find that to be a pretty generic number that most people are going to agree with, depending on the same solutions can probably process the same, anywhere from 700 to 1,000. The one thing I do say I like to look at is it's not necessarily how many voters come in throughout the day. It's also your peak demand that actually may necessitate adding in specific workstations. If you get that whole 1,000 voters within a two-hour period, you may want more. So it's generally kind of looking in there, but you do have to look at your flow throughout the day to make sure you're be covered.
Just to clarify about the cost, so you said $2,500 for the module, but only one is required. Is that one per precinct, or one per jurisdiction, or one per state, or?
The PAM is the semester, $2,500, which is the precinct automation manager. That's one per clerk's office, so there'd be one per county location, or whatever would be the authority throughout, controlling all the precincts within their area.
Okay, and then the software for each laptop was also $2,500?
About $500.
$500, okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Great. Thank you very much.
Okay,
right
on
time.
Much.
Thank you. SOE software, Bill. Yeah.
Good morning, Task Force. My name is actually Mark Rizzo. I'm actually standing in for Bill Murphy this morning, who couldn't make it. While my associate here, Brian Mortimer, who's our poll book engineer, gets set up, what we're going to do is we're going to just kind of just show you the software, the look, the feel, kind of discuss with you. You guys have kind of heard similarities of the electronic poll book, the electronic roster. The idea is what is the actual electronic roster supposed to do different from paper currently? And that's kind of what we're going to cover with you as well. As a brief overview, SOE is based out of Tampa, Florida. We currently, our software is utilized in 34 states, 2 territories, and 4 countries. We range from anything from voter education web portals, election night reporting, online training for poll workers, poll books, live web help desks. Our solutions are made to empower the voter, increase transparency, and increase in efficiency with the election offices. It's made to make their job easier, not harder. By putting more information out to the voter and for the voter, you have smaller shorter voting lines, easier voting process, and a smarter voter. Hence, a lot of the times you see a lot of these long lines in the news of, you know, hey, voters are frustrated. They've been out there for 3-4 hours. What's the problem? Well, part of the problem, a lot of thing is the education of the voter, the education of the poll worker, and then the equipment that's being used in the election or the precinct. Paper poll books, you have currently lines A through M and N through Z. If you have 2 per polling place, well, now you've got lines of A through M that are a mile long, and the person with the N through Z is sitting there staring at the rest of the voters, and they can't process the voter. So the electronic roster is there to allow any voter to vote, even if you have multiple precincts combined or multiple jurisdictions combined in one precinct place. It allows you to get the right ballot style to the right voter and lets them know, hey, can they vote and what they can do. Something that we are offering that's a little different than some of the others that you've heard today is we provide an online training platform with this e-roster or poll book, as you call it. What that allow you to do is once you go through, they go through the in-person training with your poll book officials. They have the ability 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the way up until the day of the election to actually go through an online training, get comfortable with the solution, know how to process a voter, know all the differentiators of, hey, what they may run into on an election day processing a voter, what to look for so that when they get to the polling place on election morning, they're ready to go. They're going to be comfortable. They're not going to be nervous about using some brand new piece of equipment, and that'll just make things work a lot easier. So I will turn it over to Brian, and he will kind of just briefly show you the software of what our take is on the solution and how we want simplicity to be the key here. And I'll let Brian take it away. Thank you.
My name is Brian Mortimer. Thank you for having us here today. This is the poll worker interface that the poll workers see for our application. It's very simple. We keep it down to three total screens, and that's to make it so that there's very little to train. I will show you, it shows you at the top of the screen what the election is, and whether it's election day or whether it's in early voting mode. It also gives you the current precinct that the application is using, where the poll book is programmed for. These red buttons, if I was connected to other poll books, would turn green. They tell me whether I'm connected to all the poll books in the county, the top one, or whether I'm connected to the other poll books within my polling place, the bottom one. So I get a very quick glance to know whether I'm connected or not. Go ahead and look up a voter here. And I'll go ahead and bring up a voter, and you'll see that I've got all the information about the voter, including their VUID and any information. This voter doesn't have any challenges, so it's been very easy to process this voter. I can now process the voter with one click, validate, yes, I want to process this voter, and we're ready to go. At this point, what the application does is it prints a receipt, so we end up printing a label generally, and what we like to use is a half-inch wide label that splits into two. So what we do is we take one of those half-inch wide labels. It's a strip. It usually has the voter's information, voter ID, as well as a barcode, so it's easy to be wanted. And we pull that off, and we put that on a paper roster list. And then we have the voter sign next to it. We do that in locations where a wet signature is required. And that's a good way to be able to assemble a poll list on the fly. You get all the voters in order of appearance in front of that poll book, and you also get a wet signature. So the end result is a poll list without any spaces in it, it's very much like what you have today. So that if you had to wand and enter all those results, you could do so with the barcodes. Of course, we also have all that information in the poll book as well. So that it's a lot quicker to, instead of wanding to update the voter history, we can now update the voter history electronically in a matter of seconds. We do the same thing with same-day registration data. So go ahead and I'll show you how our same-day registration form works. What we have is we split it into separate roles. It's possible that you don't want every poll worker to have access or knows the process to do same-day registration, so we have it so you can train a more advanced-level poll worker to be able to do same-day registration, where the others can just post voters, which is a much simpler task. I'll go ahead now and sign in as an administrator. And this is the same-day registration form. This is all the information that you have on your state form. This can be customized as needed. Right here, I've got a couple extra fields in here that to show that we have different capabilities. So if you have quadrants or northwest, east-west, you have complicated addresses in your jurisdiction, we can handle that as well. I'm going to go ahead and enter an address here. And I don't know if that address really exists. I imagine it does. Circle, it should be in the street index. And in this case, if you had a jurisdiction where you had to select a party, in this case, I wouldn't really have to do this. And this is Minnetonka address. And I click search, and now it's going to go use the precinct finder, and it's going to tell me the correct precinct for this voter. So now I have that information. I know that that voter is in my precinct and is eligible. I can go ahead and finish this form and add that voter. When I add that voter, it does two things. It prints out that same-day registration form, similar to the one that was passed around early in the room. And it can print that either on one side or two side. So you can go ahead and pre-print that certificate on the back of all those forms and then just distribute a very simple printer to each of the polling places that will print that custom front side. That will save some money. The other advantage to saving money and putting those printers in the polling place would be, like I was mentioning, to have one workstation that does the same-day registrations. That way you don't have to have a full printer as well as a label printer connected to every single poll book in the polling place, a way of saving money. Go back to the voter search. Let me go ahead and find a voter now with a challenge. And here we see a voter that's challenged with the postal return. Any voter challenges we get come from the VR system or any other system that we gather the data from. When we assemble this election for the poll book, we gather information from the voter registration system, as well as information from the voting system to determine the proper ballot styles that are going to be presented to the voters, as well as we'll integrate with any absentee processing system. The reason we do that is so that we can get the most accurate information to those users of all those systems at the appropriate time. It's especially complicated when you have absentee processing going on at the same time as you have in-person election going on. So what we can do is we can handle any kind of voter condition that comes in. In this case, it's a postal challenge return. We can put additional information in this right-hand side that can be used at the polling place so that challenge can be resolved. The goal here is to resolve challenges in the polling place without having a call downtown and without turning any voters away. So once they've proven their residence according to the rules that were on the right, I can then go ahead and post that voter normally. Our import and our export formats are usually CSV or tab delimited formats because many of the systems that we integrate with are old legacy systems. That makes the poll book for vendor is an exciting opportunity. And the reason is because it is the one space that's not really certified federally yet in the election world. And as a vendor, that's exciting. That lets us develop and lets us move forward and move quickly and produce new products. For this reason, at SOE, we have a software-only product instead of a hardware platform. And part of the reason for that is because the hardware in this world is changing very, very quickly, especially on the mobile and device field. So 4 years ago, when we first developed this product, it's a Java platform-built product. And the reason for that was so we could put it on Windows, we could put it on Linux, we could be flexible in how we deploy this product. We're now looking at deploying an Android version of the product, and that's been driven primarily because of the market forces. The small mobile devices tend to be moving more now towards tablets and away from the PC market. And so as a vendor, our goal is to be able to follow that and provide the best price point to our customers and elections as we possibly can and use the most up-to-date hardware that's available and is reasonable to us. Go ahead and show another. What's that? Oh, yeah, time savings. The getting all the data back, getting the data to the poll book is very simple. It's an export process from the systems I described. The VR system would usually have an export. We usually get that as a CSV file. We can do real-time integration, and we've done that as a SOAP or a web service integration. And we can do that as well for the absentee processing system. Getting the information back out of the poll book is a matter of simply running an export, and then we basically get back to you in any format you want. We can give it back to you in a CSV format, which is usually the format that we've done in the past. We can also use an XML format, or we could do a web service format as well. Usually there's an air gap between the voter registration system and the poll book system so that there's some form of validation. So we've done very few real-time integrations between the systems. But in most cases, we can give the complete voter history update within a few hours after the polls have closed, especially with connected systems. If I have all green lights, I know that all the poll books have reported. That means I know I have all the information. I know I have everything. I can very reliably just do one export from one system at the election office and update the VR system very quickly. So I can get, sometimes the VR system can be updated well before the results are released of the election.
Which will reduce the time that the election office is spending scanning one at a time every single voter that has voted on election day, which in talking with Hennepin County during this pilot can take up to 10 weeks, if not longer, to get everything updated and validated every voter has voted. Now you can get it within hours.
There, we use our chunks. We have questions?
Any questions?
Cost.
Cost is going to be relatively across the board. What you're going to hear is probably about the same. We're anywhere from $1,000 to $1,300 per poll book as well. And that's full capabilities, whether you want to go tablet, do you need a signature pad, do you what kind of printer you want to go with. And then annual assurance per poll book is anywhere from, again, $75 to $150, again, depending on the type of unit and all the peripherals you want. What we do is we have the ability to offer hardware-agnostic capability with the software. A lot of times government entities, you guys have contracts, and that's why we don't specifically hone in on one specific device. We want to give you the ability to make sure you're comfortable with what type of device you're choosing. Do you want all touchscreen? Do you want a keyboard? Do you want large? Do you want small? Do you want signature pads? Do you not want that? That's up to you. So if you guys are, or the government typically has a equipment contract with a vendor such as Dell, whoever you guys may have it, you may be able to get the equipment a lot cheaper than purchasing it from an equipment vendor. in that case, you don't have to incur the larger equipment cost. So that could also help you out with the budget as well. So that's what we give the option of picking and choosing your equipment, whether it come through us or you're on your own.
Questions?
Does your product allow scanning of a driver's license to pre-populate?
Yeah, we allow for scanning in two different methods. We can scan either the magnetic strip of the barcode or we can scan the 2D driver's license barcode. Our most successful customers have used the 2D barcode scanning. It seems to be more reliable than the magnetic strip readers. And we use that information. We don't use the driver's license number typically. We typically grab the first name and last name and then perform a search to look up the voter based on that information. We also capture that information so that for the same day registration form that I demonstrated to you, if I had scanned the voter to look up that voter first and then not found the voter, all that information would be there pre-filled out on that same day registration form.
Senator Kiffmeyer?
No, same question.
Please ask whether we're in the same 700 to 1,000 voters per unit.
Or yeah, I've seen very, very busy polling places with less, depending, like we discussed earlier, on the first pattern. Some areas the lunch hour is hot, and other areas it's not. But that's a good rule of thumb, is 700 to 1,000.
And, Gary, what you with the state of Minnesota, with the same-day registration, you want to make sure that you've got a poll book probably dedicated to registering new voters. Have one and then have either one or a second one available to take already registered voters so that the lines can keep moving. You're not stuck waiting for somebody who's behind, filling out a registration form, scanning it, going through the questionnaire, signing it. So you may want to look at that ability of, hey, we have one dedicated to strictly that and then one extra or one, two for polling, or maybe three as a backup. It just, again, depends on your cost effectiveness and how you want things to move within your precincts.
That's what we did in the city of Washington, D.C. for same-day registration, and it was very successful. They had a minimum of two poll books per workstation. They had some of those trained specifically to deal with issues, voter challenges, as well as same-day registration. And whenever a voter came through the line that had one of those problems, it went to a dedicated station. That way the flow of voters wasn't interrupted by one voter with a problem.
But it is capable of running both on the same. If you have a very small precinct that may only have five same-day registrations and 300 voters, you could run the whole thing
absolutely.
On one.
Yes, ma'am,
yeah.
Absolutely. But if you only went with that smaller precinct with one and you're doing a lot of new registered voters, it may slow things down a little bit more than normal. If you had a second one, you could also get away, but you could do it, yes.
I had a follow-up about the costs. So you said $1,000 to $1,300. Was that for both the software that would be needed for the laptop and the laptop and peripherals? Okay, so how much is just the software part
of that? Software is anywhere from $400 to $600 a poll book, depending on the customization needed to get things up and running.
Thank you.
And every state, county is completely different based on what their needs are.
Other questions? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Our final presentation, the representative is flying in and arrived just a little bit ago and is not here yet. So I want to move down on the agenda to item six. In your packets is a proposed work plan and meeting schedule. That's part of our task today is to walk through that and make sure this is realistic and that we're getting all of our work done on time. And I propose we take that up now, save us a little time at the end, and our food will also be here in a little while, but not quite yet. So, Max?
It would help me to know, are these the same dates that were emailed out previously?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Halperin, these are the same dates that were emailed out previously, except there was a later September date that has been cut from the schedule. So it is the dates that were emailed out previously and does plan on having a meeting on January 30th, which was previously listed as tentative.
Thank you.
So we're in our combined meeting. We're going through the various technologies and vendors and going through our task and our schedule.
Our next meeting would be in October, particularly with some focus on data security. How does our statewide system work, and how does it maintain its security now, and what is our ability beyond as we look into the future for keeping a secure network going forward? There'll be some presentations from IT staff and others. Our later October meeting, looking at the reliability and the access to Department of Vehicle Services and ability to match names, ability to match photographs without duplication, some of the issues that we know about from the question of a facial recognition scan that was done back in 2008 and status of the cleanup and status of future activity in that regard. Moving into one meeting in November, one meeting in December, trying to pay attention to our various schedules during that time, and you can see there's quite a substantial agenda for those two, and then three meetings in January so that we really have our report ready to go so we can discuss it as a draft at our January 23rd meetings. We can really have a full meeting time with a full report in front of us, and then changes, suggestions, et cetera, prepared in between, and then our final meeting right before it's due to the legislature on the 30th of January. So this makes that last meeting an official one on the schedule, takes us into October right away, and keeps us moving at a pretty fast pace, but is aware that we have other things in November and December we need to be doing. Feedback, reactions, suggestions, changes?
Mr. Chair, over here.
Please.
Thank you. Thank you for putting the agenda out like that. I think it's very helpful to have a roadmap and allows us to have an idea of how we could get to our end goal. One of the concerns that I've had since this discussion has started are the cases that are currently pending with regard to breaches of our data. For the state of Minnesota, we've got the situation that happened with the driver's license lookups as well as the DNR breach. And so with the status of the cleanup, I would also like to have a presentation to this committee on what's happening with those two breaches and what action is being taken and any thoughts and conclusions based on that.
Excellent. The October meeting, of course, is the kind of logical place.
That's what I was thinking, Mr. Chair.
And that we can work together.
Mr. Chair and Senator, I would just want to check with legal counsel. As you know, there's all sorts of legal issues that are going on related to that, and so I'm not sure what we would be able to present or not present. So I would want to at least confer with him and with the commissioner and get back to you on that.
Thank you for raising this, and thank you for taking the cautious approach. And we'll, I think in general, all of us now have the heightened awareness, not just of sort of inappropriate use, but hacking, denial of service. I mean, there are so many things now that come with the great strides of digitizing, but there are these other issues.
Yep, Mr. Chair, and so some follow-ups on that. So, yep. Mr. Chair and Ms. McCormick, I completely understand the legal issues, but I think that as we look at this issue, it is on the public's mind as well, and so if there's a way to give us as much information without compromising the legal case, I would appreciate that. And then the other question I had, Mr. Chair, was we have talked about in committee hearings and in discussions about the use of taking a photograph on the spot. And so I just want to make sure as we talk about technology that capacity to take a photo on the spot along with the same-day registration process is incorporated into who speaks to us, what kind of information we get.
Okay. And Commissioner Parnell, it seems like some of this falls into your overall responsibility.
That's true, but I would like to just differentiate between some of the cases that we've seen with the data, the lawsuits that you refer to, which were not technically technology or security issues. They were misuse issues on the part of people who had every reason to access that data. So just to kind of clarify that difference, I can see why you're interested in that, but two very different things.
Thank you. Should be a rich discussion. A lot to that. Other comments, suggestions, additions?
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
One of the things that I would like to do is that we take the statute and map, you know, specifically to the statute, because it was fairly detailed as far as, I know you've handed out the statute itself, but matching how we are including every single point that is made in that statute so that we don't have any inadvertent losses of stuff along the way into things that were in there. I think the other thing is the status. I didn't, in regards to the pilot itself, mm-hmm. So where are we at in regards to that? I don't know if we're ready for that or not.
Well, let me
is
just...
That coming? I didn't see it on our agenda.
Right. Well,
today.
The pilot is a separate thing. We're not discussing the pilot necessarily. It's you know, it's under its own steam. It's underway. These vendors happen to also be participants in the pilots, and so it's not part of our agenda. We've mapped the actual work here alongside the legislation, so we'll can get that legislation out again. But the pilots themselves are not part of this.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. You're saying the pilots are not part of this task force?
Correct.
By statute?
Yes, we can pull the statute out, but the pilot's a separate, and it was authorized and it was appropriated, and it's happening, it's underway. I mean, essentially, it's about to happen physically on Election Day. I think there's been pretty good advancement. Mr. Poser, do you want to update us on how that is going? It seems like it's about to happen.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Mr. Chairman, Senator, and members. So we are in the process of working with the three counties that were authorized in that part of the section for the e-poll book pilots, being Clay, Hennepin, and Ramsey County, and the cities that were designated within those counties to conduct a pilot this fall. We originally had 8 vendors that had replied that they were interested in conducting or working within the pilot. 2 of them have dropped out, so we are down to 6 vendors that are working with those counties to do that. We've given them a sample test of how we would give them registered voters, even though it's not how we would do it in the future. But for the purposes of the pilot, we have given them pre-registered voters of a layout of how they will expect that this fall. So they've all received that. They won't get their actual files until the counties finalize their voter registration after the pre-cutoffs in October, and then each of the vendors will get the specific pre-registered voters to those particular precincts. The vendors have been working with each of the counties on the Election Day registration piece as far as how that's going to work. One of the 6 vendors will not be participating in the Election Day registration piece as part of the pilot. And then I think the only other thing is that we did give approval for one of the vendors asked for approval to use a smaller Election Day registration form than the 8.5 by 11, and they provided us with a sample of what that would look like, and so we did approve for the purposes of the pilot to have a smaller form as provided in the rules, allows us to authorize us a different size form than the 8.5, and so we specifically authorized it only for the purposes of the pilot to see how that would work. So they think basically it keeps them from getting a second printer that can handle the larger sheet of paper. They can use the same printer for multiple purposes. So we were interested in seeing what that would come up with. So we did approve that for those purposes. But I think that's basically it on this.
And I've heard great satisfaction among the vendors in the process so far. So I think they're ready to go. Senator?
One of my understandings was that the purpose of the electronic task force was to have a pilot for the purpose of experiencing some of these things, and then the task force would have that information as part of their assessment. So What are the parameters for what they are testing? Is this purely whatever the vendors are choosing to do? Is that the parameters here? Is there any tie back at all to what they are doing, to the items that were in the statute about a roster?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Kiffmeyer, there were two sections in the statute, one dealing with the e-pullbook pilot and one dealing with the electronic roster task force. And so the vendors that are participating in the e-pullbook pilot were given the list of items that they needed to meet the statute requirements for the e-pullbook pilot. And the counties have been given a checklist to check off that each of those pieces of part of the pilot were met, including, like, as was discussed before, printing of the EDR that could be signed and the oath that would be printed off that could be signed, that certificate. So they all have to meet all of those individual pieces that were required as part of the statute for the e-pullbook pilot. But that, the e-pullbook pilot statute requires there to be a written report to the legislature on the e-pullbook pilot, which is a separate report than I think this report that's required from the electronic roster task force that we're participating in.
Mr. Chair, yeah. And Senator Kiffmeyer, on the draft work plan, on each of the meetings, it has a focus, and the focus is taken directly from the statute. So if you'd like to refer to that. We did look very closely at the statute as we put together the work plan, and all of the items are accounted for here, and there was not one related to the pilot.
Mr. Chair, first of all, I want to correct the record that I do see on the November 15th and December 9th. You do have options for taking pictures of voters on Election Day, so you did include that already, and I appreciate that. With regard to what Senator Kiffmeyer is saying, I think just common sense, it would be helpful for this group as we look at the process going forward to be, if you would be willing, while it doesn't certainly say that in the statute, to just update us as to how the pilot's going in our meetings, because it's certainly of interest.
And the presentations you heard today are from those companies
right.
participating in the pilot, so it'd be
yep.
hard to be any more integrated unless we were to join them in their companies or something like that.
Mr. Chair, we're just saying after the pilot is completed,
Absolutely.
We'd like to hear how they went.
And also, of course, there's members on the task force who will be participating in yep. the work, which is really what we're talking about, and it'll be in November, so we're all going to have to scramble. We'll be very busy. But legislature wrote the legislation. We're implementing it right by the language, and the vendors were very careful in asking what exactly did the legislation require so that they could really have to, in some cases, do a lot of work to be custom to our own particular system, and I've really appreciated their willingness to do that because this is quite different than bidding on a contract where there's a real opportunity for a commercially viable sale. This is trying out something
yeah.
for our benefit at their cost. I've been very pleased at their willingness to be so generous with us and then also to come today.
Mr. Chair,
on short notice.
Yeah, we concur and thank those vendors for doing that, and thank you.
Other clarifications on the work plan?
Well, Mr. Chair, I will just make a comment. You have in this room today two authors, legislative authors, and many times you write and you have a legislative intent and the many, many discussions with many legislators, and it was always in the mind that these two were a continuous and they were an integrated type of a project. We are familiar, though, with at times that the interpretation of that by somebody else and taking a look at that. But I would say that definitely in the spirit of doing the things that we need to do, it seems absolutely crucial that this task force has a very, very significant interest in the pilot. After all, how could we possibly, here we have a pilot. It seems so material to the whole work that we are doing. It's more a matter of common sense, but I will speak as a legislator and the intention, that is certainly the case. So we'll do our best with your interpretation to continue that and trust that you will also recognize that legislative intent and just more from a goodwill, common sense point of view in working it together. Thank you.
Well, I'm very interested in suggestions of how we can be more integrated with the pilot. We have all the pilot vendors here today presenting. We could divide up and travel to the six sites, to the three counties, on Election Day. Senator?
Mr. Chair, that's a good point. I will go to my own site and take a look at it. But what I would like is after the pilot, after the election happens, I would like the representatives from those places to give us their thoughts, how it worked, what didn't work, and have some sort of presentation to the committee about how the pilot went.
And David, are you willing to do that as a member of the task force?
Yes.
Thank you.
I mean,
we've thought this through. I mean, we have members here who will be doing the pilot, so I'm a little confused a little bit about David.
Well, I should also mention, I've after our first task force meeting, the two gentlemen from Iowa, I've continued to meet with them. And if they can get their product ready in time for November, I might be using them, but it's apparently outside the scope of what's in the the process that the vendors are picked. But I'd be happy to report on, because I think that's a unique partnership, public-public partnership that's slightly different than using a vendor. So, but I'm continuing that work, and we'll see if they're ready by November.
Yeah, thank you. And that would be great to go beyond what the legislation and what the, you know, has done to get us that information. I think it's possible that we can ask some of the folks from other more far away places to try to come down or participate by phone if it's too far for them to come.
Yeah. If I might add, I do believe that since we've given the vendors an opportunity to talk about their product, it would be really make sense to have the people who have implemented it talk about their experiences too, just so that we get both sides of the picture.
David, you're willing to talk about your experience? Great. We'll ask them all. Other changes, additions, corrections? Representative?
I'll just make a comment as one of the authors. There is two different tracks in the legislation, and one is actually piloting same-day registration as Minnetonka had done informally and having it get out to different sizes, districts, different areas in the state, and that was definitely one, is to go forth with same-day registration. And the other part was in a task force to look deeper into the whole process of electronic rosters. So I don't disagree with the focus here, and I appreciate also the integration.
Other changes, comments, suggestions? Seems like we've had some desire to see and add a few and to try to make sure that we're giving adequate time. Senator Bonoff talked about particularly trying to bring in further expertise on the question of the photographs, and I think the people at Carnegie Mellon are by far the most sophisticated, and perhaps they would call in and I can ask them, see what we can do about that. I think there's been a very serious effort to try to figure out how to make sure that the vendors who we are, in a sense, relying on both for the pilot but also to get their input here today and early. And I very much appreciate that David has followed up with the folks from Iowa. It's very unique, and that's a great addition, and it's beyond the scope of what the legislation and the process, but it's the kind of thing we need. But I also know that people on this task force have expertise far beyond what was specified in the legislation or what has been imagined, and I'm assuming that people are bringing in that expertise, and so far that's been the case. So this is only our second meeting, but I feel like there's been a lot of content already. Any other discussion on the work plan or the schedule? We, of course, will continue to review the work plan and schedule, but the goal is to stay on task and to complete everything in time. And that's that gets to be the biggest challenge. And we'll
in each meeting take a double check on that to make sure that we're meeting everybody's desire and that we're staying on track. But we are now at the time in the meeting where we're going to take a brief break for lunch. We have a few minutes of some time just open, then we'll have a bit of lunch, and then we will reconvene, hopefully with the final presentation, and then for open discussion, and we'll be keeping the ball moving so that we can make sure that people are out on time or early. So we'll take a break right now, and assuming all goes as planned, let's reconvene at quarter after 12. And do you think this will work in terms of delivery of? Should be here shortly. Okay, so we will, for the moment, we'll reconvene here at 12:15, right back here. Mm-hmm. Thank you.